Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm a delight, Robert. How are you today?
Feeling outstanding. My country is the best hockey country in the world, and it's a beautiful time, a beautiful time. What did you make of that game yesterday between the U.S. and Canada?
First, realize we're chasing a country with less than 10% of our population.
That's irrelevant.
But
yeah, but they think they invented hockey and that they own it, and come on now.
Well, they kind of do own it, guys. I mean, come on. Let's be
serious. Not as of today.
Yeah.
Look, silver medal.
I mean, it's great. I mean, it's not a rivalry until both sides win, right?
That is true.
And so the United States winning is great. And we've seen this coming with the rise of our junior program internationally in the way that they've performed. And so, you know, they went there for gold. And if they weren't in the gold medal game, it was going to be a huge disappointment. And, you know, they were able to deliver in the clutch. And, you know, they, like everyone else, had other moments where they could have lost, because virtually every game seemed to go to overtime. But it was a great breakfast in Milan, and it was a nice way to wrap up the Olympics for the U.S. and a nice for them to finish out what they set out to do, and you know, to beat the Canadians as well. You know, I'll never forget the Vancouver game. That was absolutely fantastic, and the drama was incredible. And to, you know, winning 4-1 is nice, but winning like that, it just, I don't know. To me, it just means more. It just feels more accomplished. It just feels better. It's more dramatic. It's rising to the moment. And so it's a great moment for U.S. sports.
So do you think this? What's the payoff here, Corey, in terms of, like you said, I mean, we've made huge strides in this country in terms of youth hockey.
Yeah.
But this game, in terms of fandom, in terms of even maybe more, you know, youth interest, and also the inevitable future debate of, well, look at what happened to Fiala and Crosby got hurt too, versus look at what this can do for hockey. Where do you think that goes?
Well, I mean, I think it's great for hockey, but, you know, every 4 years people watch curling and figure skating, and, you know, we're not overrun in the world by figure skating and curling, right?
That is true. We should be.
Okay.
But yes.
So, you know, it's a very, you know, it's easy to rise for everyone to rise up and root for their country and appreciate this all-star scenario where all these players, you know, come together. You know, I think, you know, we did get a bounce, like, obviously in 1980. And, you know, I mean, growing up in Chicago, there were a handful of youth hockey teams, but there wasn't much. And now everywhere in Chicago, there's youth hockey. So it's obviously grown. And I hate to say, I don't know how much room there is for it to grow, because it's a really expensive sport to play. And so I think that's a challenge. It's not like youth soccer, anybody can play. All right. Now, playing club soccer costs money. I've learned that firsthand, but it's still not as expensive as playing, you know, youth hockey, because you don't have all of the gear and the rink rental and all that stuff and the rink issues that you have. So hockey's got a few other challenges in front of it. Do I think it'll impact NHL ratings? Probably not. Maybe a little bit. I think there's a lot of swept up nationalism. I think it's great for hockey fans, but I don't know how much just the casual American sports fan says, I'm going to go watch hockey now because I watched the U.S. win gold. I think, you know, there's a lot of people who just take pride in watching the U.S. watch gold, and that's okay, win gold, and that's okay. I could be wrong. But I think it will largely reset to where it is.
Well, I also think too, Corey, like, and it's impossible to time it up this way, I get it. But like, if it was, it would be another thing too, if the Olympics were ending and you were just right into the playoffs, but there's still another 2 months of the regular season. And I think that kind of factors into it as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you may get a few people who go to a game who weren't going to go to a game, or you know, who check it out. I don't see there being like, hey, there's a 10% surge in ratings. I don't see that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that part of it goes. So we got the combine coming up later this week in the NFL, and we'll get into everybody's, you know, how fast they run and the vertical and hand size and all those things. One of Rex Road's favorite events of the year.
The underwear Olympics.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's going to be out there. People seem to love it. So, of all the draft prospects and the people that we're going to talk about ad nauseum over the next couple of months here, who has really to this point captured your attention? You know what? The Tennessee Titans at number four. I would love to see them end up with this player.
I mean, it's going to be boring. But, you know, it's any of the three edge rushers because, you know, they're all kind of different.
Yeah.
And, you know, which one do you want to gamble on? Because I think there is some gamble with all of them. I mean, Arvell Reese has played 1 year. And I don't think he had a sack the last six games of last year. But he's played 1 year and he's 20 years old. And I guarantee you, if he's at the combine and performing and everything, he will be off the charts. You know, the combine was made for dudes like him, you know, and everybody's going to want to see what Bane's measurables are, to which most people would rightfully say, well, just turn on the tape and just go watch him play. Because I think there's also some value in that. And then, you know, last year you had Bailey come up with 14.5 sacks, which is what he had his first 3 years, you know, at Stanford. You know, how sustainable is he? How ready is he? You know, be interesting to see. He's long. I'm interested to see what his strength is. You know, some of his explosive numbers. You know, we could talk about the receivers. You know, if that's where they want to go. But I think the guys who can hit the quarterback are the ones that I'm most interested in. It's not to say that I'm 100% that's what they'll do, but that's the ones I'm most interested in.
Okay, well, you just laid it out for all three, so you're the GM, and you have to choose between them. Who are you taking?
Yeah, you know, right now I'm leaning Bane just because I like the results, but I do acknowledge and I understand the short arm problem and that history says that it's an issue, but, you know, it's catch me at the right moment. I watch Reese and I go, gosh, how much upside does this guy have? I mean, look at him. And then, you know, you watch Bailey bend and finish. I don't know how – have you watched a lot of Bailey tape?
Tape? No, I watched him a fair amount last year. Yeah, I loved
him. How violent of a player do you feel like he is?
See, that's the thing. That's the knock on him, and yet
yeah.
I thought that I saw some times where I thought he set the edge and blew people up and was okay. Good in the run game. I understand that consistently that's still an issue and still a question.
Yeah, and because you're talking about the fourth pick of the draft, okay?
Right.
And so it's you know, we're splitting hairs here. You know, we're not saying any of these guys aren't great players, but we're talking about fourth overall, so you're trying to be as perfect as you can. And when I watched him, I remember I had the same complaint about Vic Beasley coming out. I watched Vic Beasley's tape, and I watched his tape, and I watched his tape, and I'm like, he's just not very violent. There's a lot of arms in there. There's a lot of grabbing in there. And that matters. That length matters for sure. That hand strength matters for sure. So is it a problem? That's what Mike Borgonzi and crew have to figure out. I'm probably making up something that isn't. But for me, that's what I see. And I see Desmond Bane, and I see a wired, violent player. I see Reuben Bane, and I see a wired, violent player, and I love that, but I also understand he's a hand-in-the-dirt guy. And, you know, I know, so what did Gus Bradley say last week? They want one guy basically with his hand in the dirt for three plays and another guy who's like 2-1. And, you know, so, you know, you could have some versatility with a Reese and a Bailey and not as much versatility with a Bane. So it's tough to say. I mean, because again, you just look at the athleticism of Reese, and it's like, yeah, he should wear a cape and have an S on his chest.
Corey, last thing for you here. We were talking about this earlier in the show. I mean, Tennessee Vanderbilt, big game over the weekend. Tennessee goes on the road and they win. So I guess first off, what do you make of that win for Tennessee? But what did you make of the amount of Tennessee fans that were in the building? A lot of talk about that on both sides after. Like on the Vanderbilt side, it was like, guys, I don't know if you guys have seen this. Our team's pretty darn good this year. We need the fans to show up better than that. So what did you make all that over the weekend?
You know, I guess it's a little surprising because Vandy has had pretty good support this year. I mean, the fans have come back, you know, with the team being good. But, you know, I guess, you know, Tennessee, you know, they've kind of had an uptick in momentum and, you know, they showed up and they showed up. And I mean, it was I hate to say it was a bigger game for Tennessee, but it was a bigger game for Tennessee. And you know, they did what they had to do and got the finish in that game, despite Ament being quiet for a while, in that game. And so, you know, I guess good for Tennessee fans, Vandy fans. I guess you could just say do better, but I didn't see the actual numbers, so I can't comment about that. I just look. I mean, Tennessee fans have outnumbered Vandy fans for generations. One's a very small private school; the other is not, and there's always going to be a disparity there. You know, I guess you'd like to protect your home turf a little bit better, but the numbers are what the numbers are.
Very well said. Corey Curtis, great stuff as always. Thank you for being with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. Thank you very good. I will be in – will anyone be joining me in Indianapolis?
Paul Kuharsky will be up there, I believe.
He will.
Yeah, Paul, all right. What do you do with Talk Paul?
He's from paulkuharsky.com in case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said that before.
I like that when Terry got flustered. And he's like, hey, you're a little red. And I'm like, brother, we're just getting started.
Oh, yeah. Right, oh, yeah. So have a good time up there in Indy. Give a full report to Rex Road. It's his favorite event of the entire year on the sporting calendar.
Really, yeah, look, very sad
to miss understand.
It.
I do. I understand that. Why fans love it, I don't know. The one thing, and Joe, you can probably acknowledge this. 15 years ago, you went to the Combine and – at least 50% of your player interviews were just absolute hot garbage. But they are so prepared now that like almost all the interviews are great. And like you actually get stuff from them. And it is a much more enjoyable experience from that perspective that you can ask a player a question and get an actual answer about something.
There you go, Joe. Not too late to get up there.
I guess I missed this trend. I haven't noticed any change at all.
Way different than,
I mean, some guys are good, some guys are bad, right?
Yeah, but before, majority of the guys were bad. And now a majority of the guys are prepared and pretty good.
I can't wait for Rex to get up there later this week.
I mean, it's a great opportunity to go drink.
I mean, there's not much else to do in Indy, is there? I mean,
little shrimp cocktail.
Really?
Clear out the sinuses, you know?
The Pacers in town?
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's not going to be great. Well, have fun up there, Corey. But
real quick, when do they talk? When do the Titans talk?
Tuesday and Wednesday, I think I can't remember what the order was. They're both at noon. It might be Sala, then Borgo, Tuesday and then Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday's Borgo because I think he's talking the exact same time that Vrabel and Mike McDonald are.
Oh, yes.
So,
here we go.
So we'll have a quaint little setting for Mike Borgonzi.
That's what I'm talking about. There we go.
But cool. So Wednesday is also the day all the defensive linemen and edge rushers are talking. And so that's the day we get to meet all those guys, which is kind of what I'm looking forward to.
There we go. Sure. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program.
All right, later.
We'll see you later, Corey. Bye. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts on Joe's favorite event of the year, the NFL Combine, and also USA taking down Canada in the gold medal game. A lot of reaction to that. We'll continue that discussion. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We are brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Team USA wins the gold medal yesterday, 2-1 in overtime against Team Canada. Jack Hughes with the game winner in overtime for the Americans. And Connor Hellebuck putting together a legendary performance. The first gold medal for the men's hockey team since 1980 in the Miracle on Ice, which, by the way, that was not the gold medal game. They did beat Finland in the gold medal game.
That is true.
That was actually not a gold medal game. It was a round-robin tournament, and you ended up with points. So, long time, 46 years to the day since they beat the Soviets that year, and now they've won the gold medal again. Awesome stuff yesterday, Joe. We talked a lot about it throughout the show. A lot of people have weighed in. We welcome more of those, 615-737-1025. I mean, the pace of the game was incredible. It was hockey at its absolute highest level. And, you know, we've said it. You know, what I wanted in this tournament, Joe, was the United States to win the gold medal. I mean, that was at the baseline of what I wanted. But I really wanted the United States to win the gold medal against Team Canada. And I wanted to see that matchup. And, you know, it was not – I wouldn't call yesterday's game necessarily back and forth. I think a lot of it was Team USA holding on. And to their credit, their goaltender played out of his mind. But yesterday is exactly why I wanted to see it. Like, it's the best on best. That was as good of what hockey's got to offer yesterday. And what a moment for hockey in this country with Jack Hughes scoring the game winner and winning the gold medal in overtime.
Yeah, incredible game. Like you said, Canada was in control out of the game. Like, the expected goals, I guess, was 5.96 for Canada, 1.96 for the United States. But, you know, the talk about, well, this team's better than that team. Well, on this day, Team USA won. And also, your team includes your goalie.
It does.
And that goalie was the best player on the ice. And, like, as we just talked about, it should have been the MVP of the tournament. But that's one of the greatest clutch performances I've seen in sports, truly. When you think about the best player in the world having a breakaway. And, you know, you can say McDavid screwed up or whatever. But the bottom line is he stopped a McDavid breakaway. He stopped a Celebrini breakaway. He had the paddle save, which is like, I mean, that's just.
You'll be watching that save 25 years from now.
Yeah, and by the way, they killed off a minute and 44, I think, of 5-on-3.
Perfect penalty kill in the Olympics.
Yeah.
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 Which is in itself impressive.
No doubt. Just incredible sporting event. People complain about 70. It looked to me like people got up and were able to watch it, you know. They saw a lot of great video scenes all over the country. I thought one of my favorites was Matt Boldy's mom.
Yeah.
Like, is a bartender at this bar. Yeah. They had that place rocking. I had friends doing shots with, like, some big wooden board. I'm like, I don't even know what the heck that is, but they were doing shots at whatever, 9 in the morning. You know, people figured it out. It was pretty amazing. I'm interested to see, like, the ratings. I'm sure it'll be good. Yeah, like you said earlier – obviously, you could have more of a midday game or a night game. Maybe you'd have better numbers, but I feel like the whole country got kind of swept up in this, which is awesome, and it's just for the sport. It's really cool.
Yep. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Doug, to the program. Doug, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man. Good.
I just wondering what your thoughts are. How many of the Canada's silver medals ended up in the trash can in the locker room?
Oh, that's a good question. Thank you, Doug. I don't know about the silver medals, but I guarantee you a few of those stuffed animals or whatever they were that they handed out in the ceremony, those probably ended up in the trash.
Yeah, when did that start?
I don't know. I was sitting, you know, I saw him do it, obviously, for the women's final as well. And, you know, I guess this, I don't know the backstory of the stuffed animals. Frankly, I haven't looked into it enough to really care all that much. But I did, like, particularly when I saw the look on Nathan MacKinnon's face. You know, it would be one thing, you know, they did the silver medals, and then they went back through and gave them, like, the stuffed animals, too. It's like, maybe just capture that all at once. Just
oh, by the way, I got guys
we
a little more for you
to go through here. And just the look on MacKinnon and McDavid's face in particular when they were handing them these stuffed animals was just unbelievable.
Speaking of MacKinnon, he had the quote that's getting massive circulation, which you judge which of these teams is better. I mean, first of all, it's not figure skating, so the judging which team was better doesn't really have any sort of role. You said it earlier, I'd like to hear, like, the whole quote there, you know? I mean, of course, people are bitter, it's going to be sour grapes, but look, man, you guys had a chance and you didn't win. I mean, they beat you, and also – the 3-on-3 complaints, we all agree that it's not ideal to have 3-on-3. I will also say, I've said this last week, they're not doing 5-on-5, especially if we're going to have some back and forth on injuries. They're not doing it. They're not doing 5-on-5 overtime until you decide a game.
Wonder how long that could have lasted yesterday.
Well,
5-on-5.
Yeah, and of course, and let's the two things, the injury factor, but also the TV ruling the world factor, like they want to get this, you know, so it's not going to happen. But if you're Canada Yes, you lost in 3-on-3, not ideal, but like you should have won in 3-on-3. I mean, look at your team. That should be the greatest 3-on-3 team ever in the history of the sport, right? And you lost in that format. So like, just, I get it. You're bitter. It hurts. But you just got to take the L. You got to just hold that L.
Well, and you had, you know, McDavid had a couple of chances in the 3-on-3 where he had a full head of steam. And I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. When I saw him wheeling around that first time, I was like, this ain't good.
Here he comes.
You better watch out. And then he whiffed on that shot. And he had another one that Hellebuck made a good save on. Like, you know, he's the best player in the world. We talked about this earlier, though. Like, at some point, he's probably going to have to win something, though, right? Like, a cup, an Olympic gold medal. I mean, they won the Four Nations last year, so yippee. But, you know, Olympic gold medal, Stanley Cup, he's going to have to win some of those. And there's a couple different times yesterday where the game was on his stick, and he didn't do it. Hellebuck came up big.
Yeah, and look, it's like it's awesome that this is truly a rivalry. And, you know, Corey's right. Like, there's a big population difference and all that stuff. But still, I mean, you think about the gap that not that long ago existed in the hockey talent developing in Canada and the hockey talent developing here. By the way, here's another thing that I retweeted, or I quote tweeted yesterday. Did you see the Customs tweet?
Yeah.
Got to give a shout out to my longtime, my coworker going back to the Michigan State student paper, but Craig Customs, who at the time I think probably covered hockey for ESPN. There was something about, now I'm trying to find it. I'm completely fumbling around.
Oh, it was from 2011.
Yeah, 2011, Craig, yeah. Someone said USA Hockey tweeted out, in 2011, USA Hockey's 8 and under membership has reached 100,000 for the first time ever. So 8 and under, 100,000 kids for the first time ever at 2011. Craig Customs tweets in 2011, look out 2026 Olympics. Nice job, Customs. Come on.
That was making the rounds yesterday. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
15 years later, pays off. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your reaction to Team USA winning the gold medal against Team Canada yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Here's McDavid moving in on Jack Hughes. Tried to slow him down. Puck lines up behind the net. And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes pokes it around McCarr. United States with numbers. Back across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold. Jack Hughes beating Jordan Binnington.
Overtime, anything can happen. I mean, they have very skilled players. We have very skilled players. It's just up and down the rink, you know. Kind of like a little grudge match, like who's going to make the first mistake, who's going to give up the first odd man rush, and just a good play by Larks and Z getting up the ice, and then obviously Z found me.
That's Jack Hughes after the golden goal yesterday. Team USA wins in overtime 2-1 against Team Canada. A lot of Freebird yesterday, Joe. A lot of Freebird that I blasted out there. I think Freebird probably the most popular song in the country yesterday.
I got to say, Freebird, I'll take that a million times over Gloria. Holy crap. No disrespect to Laura Branigan, but man, let's play some Skinner, you know? Like, Freebird's always good. Thank goodness we didn't adopt, like, Tony Basil Mickey or some other, like, pop song from 1982.
Well, I mean, it just...
Play some Skinner.
You hear the goal there. Great call by Kenny Albert. Thought he did an outstanding job in the tournament. Great call on the goal yesterday, but there's just Freebird blaring in the background in the aftermath of it. He let it breathe a little bit.
Absolutely love it, man. Absolutely love it. Yeah, Albert was great. Eddie Olczyk, you know, and I'd forgotten, you know, he was like one of the key guys in the 84 Olympics in Sarajevo, which I, sadly, dating myself, watched that intently. Didn't go as well for Team USA and that, but I mean, he was, you know, there's a guy who was 14 when the Miracle on Ice happened in 1980. And then, four years later, he's playing in the Olympics. And then he's pretty cool to have him on the call. Then, of course, he went to the freaking Blackhawks. And
there's that.
Didn't go that great there. I mean, he was good. Good player for a long time in the NHL. Tirico was also, I thought. I love the, like, the Tirico, Olczyk kind of between periods banter. And, Tirico is... pretty hard to beat as an all around. What he's been doing here in the last few weeks, pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought, you know, back in the days when the NHL was on NBC, obviously Eddie Olczyk was with Doc Emmerich primarily, did a great job. I always thought Catherine Tappan was really good, and she was really good again yesterday. So, like, I just thought the whole broadcast was – I tell you what I really like and what multiple people were talking about yesterday, and this is an Olympic thing. It's not really an NBC thing. It's just an Olympic thing, but no commercials in the period. You just go right through, baby. I loved it.
Yeah, that
just
is.
Keep it going.
That's a good point. Yeah, no doubt. So just 7 a.m. for us, but well worth it to wake up and even to scream as I'm driving in the car when that goal goes in. A lot of people will have those, like, where was I type things.
It was one of those sporting events that, you know, particularly if you're already kind of invested in hockey, like, I was all into it, and I know a lot of people who don't watch hockey normally very much into it yesterday. So really cool stuff. Just really cool stuff yesterday. Legendary stuff from Connor Hellebuck. I mean, that's the type of game that kind of changes your legacy moving forward here. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to lead Winnipeg to a Stanley Cup or what that's going to look like. And he's 32, so we'll see, you know, how much longer he can play at this level. But, you know, he's a Hall of Famer now. Like, that's what yesterday did for him. He will be a Hall of Famer. So.
Yeah, Alex Doherty said earlier, talking about like Preds fans of Saros, because Saros was really good in this tournament. Good for him. It's great to see. Again, the Canada game, that was, I mean, if you actually watched the game, some people commented on it and no way they actually watched it. You know, you had to be awfully impressed with what he did, and it was like trying to hold off an avalanche, you know, in that game. But Doherty mentioned, you know, okay, so maybe Saros can, you know, can do that, and maybe he's found something, and, you know, we'll see the rest of the way. The interesting thing with Hellebuck is, and you know, we've talked about that, they're not very good this year, but, like, if you're a Jets fan, it's like, well, you just broke my heart, Connor. At some point, I need you to be a Conn Smythe winner and do that in an entire tournament in the spring here in North America.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hellebuck was in goal for the 2018 series between the Predators and the Jets.
He's
been doing it for a long time, man.
And there were some games in that series where the Preds lit him up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, one game seven,
and, you know, I just – yesterday, to me, well, that was as good as hockey gets. Like, it's a high-level game. I don't know what the impact is going to be. You know, I would assume and I would hope – that particularly with, you know, probably the younger generation, like, they're always going to know who Jack Hughes is now. Like, Jack Hughes, Connor Hellebuck, I mean, they're going to be in USA Hockey lore from what they just did yesterday. And it's, you know, people keep making the Miracle on Ice comparison. It's not the same thing. Like, it's not the same. Like, the circumstances are different. It's not like, you know, the USA were underdogs in this game. It wasn't, like, gigantic underdogs. I mean, they were, like, tournament co-favorites heading into it. So it's not – it's not the same sort of situation, but it is a big deal. And, you know, the fastest – you said it earlier, and I would agree. That's probably the fastest hockey game I've seen just in terms of the pace of it. And I think that is how you create fans. And I was going to talk about this in the rant, and then we pivoted a little bit. But, like, if you're the NHL, I'm sure the numbers are going to come out today of how watched it was. I'm sure there are a lot of eyeballs on that game yesterday. And I understand that there's a risk of your players getting hurt. You can't tell me for your sport after the conversation of that game yesterday, and it's lingering into this morning, and it's going to linger around for a while of people, like, talking about that game. You can't tell me that's not worth it. Like, it's absolutely worth it. There, no Stanley Cup final will have the eyeballs that you had on your sport yesterday.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear from that side. Because, yeah, people will also bring up, yeah, well, how are the Kings feeling today? And I understand that. But there is absolutely a big picture here that I think that hockey has, frankly, has failed at way too often over the years. Like you said, I think what you see in some sports is you see fans of players. And you don't see that as much in hockey. So maybe like a Jack Hughes, right? With everything that went into that, including getting his teeth knocked out of his head, and then, you know, making that play. I mean, that's, like you said, it's legendary stuff. Because, you know, it's just, I just, you know, Corey made the point earlier about curling and figure skating, and that's true. Gymnastics in the summer Olympics. Like, there are some sports that we are conditioned every 4 years to care about, get into. I mean, again, even watching people swim or run, like, that's what you do. But the difference here is, like, this is one of our four major sports in the country. Yeah. Like, it's not like, I mean, there's a following. There's a growing youth participation number and all that stuff. So I understand it. And I'm not saying this is all of a sudden gonna start taking over football or anything like that. But yeah, this should help. And this should convince the people in charge that it's worth it.
Look, I've watched, at this point in my life, thousands of hockey games.
I have.
Like, I've watched thousands of hockey games in my life. And there are a handful that stick out in terms of, like, ones that you remember. And I'll tell you two of them. 2010 gold medal game and yesterday. And it will always be that way. Like, it's not the only two. Like, there have been some great NHL games that I can remember. I mean, look, I remember basically every game from the 2017 Predators run because I was covering it. Like, I remember the details of, like, all of it. But, like, as a general sports fan, how long are we going to remember that basketball game a couple years ago between Team USA and France? It was awesome in the gold medal game. Yesterday was awesome. Like, it's a great day to be an American sports fan yesterday. And I think there's a big deal in that. And beyond, like, what it's going to do for, like, kids growing up wanting to play hockey, like, yesterday was an awesome day to be a hockey fan in the United States. And I just think sometimes you have to look at it and say, yep, that's probably worth it if you're the NHL.
100%. And then for some, like John in the YouTube chat, he says, this is my Super Bowl. Watching Canadians melt down collectively across social media is amazing.
Some are not handling it well.
Yeah. Who's the guy who really got ratioed from Toronto?
I'm trying to keep up with all the stuff I saw yesterday.
He was doing the 3-on-3 thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, well, we all agree on this. Like,
I would like to see the 5-on-5.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but like, I just don't see how that team with their players could have a problem with 3-on-3 settling it.
By the way,
be advantage Canada.
By the way, Canada just won a 3-on-3 overtime game not that long ago, just a few games ago. Nobody was complaining about it then.
Right.
Sidney Crosby's golden goal, it wasn't 5-on-5. It was 4-on-4.
4-on-4.
It's a little bit different.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not the same as 3-on-3. There's different strategy involved, but it's not like that was 5-on-5 either. Nobody ever talks about that. Yeah. So I think it's going to be all right.
Hold the L, Canada.
Hold the L. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Tennessee wins over the weekend against Vanderbilt. We'll get you caught up on a very busy weekend on the college basketball front. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. It's been a glorious morning. Got my USA hockey jersey on, soaking in the glorious victory against the Canadians. It's probably the only day we get to really talk about it in detail, so I've enjoyed today's show.
I think that when Kaharski comes on Wednesday, we need to get at least a little bit of analysis from him.
Live from the NFL Combine, let's discuss U.S.-Canada.
I'd like to hear what he did for the game.
I would,
whatever,
too.
Whatever, you know. Well, we got to remember to ask him that amid all the questions about whatever the heck whoever said at the stupid combine.
PK, tell us about the long jump taking place today.
Yeah, Daniel asked what kind of reaction held. We talked about that earlier. It's like, Connor, you're amazing, and why did you beat Canada, Connor?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
You know, it's like, I mean, you gotta give the guy love, right? But it's like, that's, I mean,
it's Austin
Canada
Matthews.
Losing to the United States in hockey is, it's not good.
Yeah, Austin Matthews is going to get a standing O in Toronto. It'll be good.
That's, yeah. How about that?
Way to go, buddy. Nice job.
Probably not.
Tennessee with a win, 69-65 against Vanderbilt on the road this weekend, Joe. Obviously, it's a big win for Tennessee. Those two teams will meet again in early March to close out the regular season. So we'll see if Vanderbilt can rise up and get the split at that point or if Tennessee takes both in the regular season against the Doors. But what did you make of the Vols going on the road and taking down Vanderbilt on Saturday?
Really impressive. Really impressive. I thought it was just a tremendously physical, competitive game, just like you'd hope for an in-state rivalry. You know, I thought that Duke Miles made a difference coming back for Vanderbilt. But Tennessee's clear defensive priority was Tyler Nickel is not going to breathe in this game. Tyler Nickel will not get a clean look at the basket. He got one on a little scramble situation, a great pass from Tyler Tanner, and he hit it. It was a big three late in the game. But essentially, Tennessee took him out. Now, Vanderbilt did a great job throwing different people at Nate Aiment, and they made it tough on him. And Chandler Bing probably played defense as well as you can play defense on the shot that ended up winning the game. Now, by the way, Aiment did double dribble on that play. I think the refs thought that the ball got knocked out of his hands. He was dribbling. He picked up his dribble. He dropped it. He picked it back up. As soon as you pick it back up, it's a double dribble. They didn't call it. I know Byington said like it was a shuffle. He might have shuffled his feet, but whatever. There was a double dribble. They missed it. He also hit an incredibly tough shot right there over Chandler Bing to win it. And I thought Tennessee's other freshmen were really good in this game. And I expect another great game when they play. Like right now, Vanderbilt got put on the 4 seed by the committee Saturday. To me, this bumps them down to the 5 line. I think that's where Tennessee is too. You know, they're both teams that I think if they finish strong, could end up, you know, among the top 4 seeds. So it was a great game. Here's a possible, as Jake Lyman sits in the studio, possible topic, you know, for you, Jake, or you may not want to touch this. I was disappointed in Vanderbilt fans, and maybe I'm overreacting because, as Corey said, there's a much bigger fan base for Tennessee. There's a million Tennessee fans who live here, right? But I just thought it'd be a little bit more of a home advantage for Vanderbilt in this game than it was. And, you know, the fact that Vanderbilt had to kind of solicit students coming out early in the week, I mean, it's a little bit, given how good this team is and really how good both of their teams are. And by the way, great win for the Vandy women with Jake Lyman on the call yesterday against Kentucky. Unbelievable game. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more home court advantage for Vanderbilt in that game.
Yeah, and that was a big talking point after the game, really from both sides. You know, a lot of Tennessee fans were, hey, look at how many people we had in the building. Have some of that, Vanderbilt. And there were, I did see some Vanderbilt fans upset of, like, how could we let this happen? Like, how could you let Tennessee fans be as prevalent as they were in this game? Like, this is the shot I was trying to find earlier. Like, Tennessee basketball put out, like, the shot of them walking off the court after the game. And there's just it's a flood of orange in there. I mean, there's a lot of orange in there, which, you know, we talked about that last week. I didn't really know what to expect. But with Vanderbilt having the season that they're having, you would thought that that would have been mitigated a little bit, and it wasn't. I mean, there are a lot of Tennessee fans that live in Nashville. I understand that. A lot of Tennessee fans at that game on Saturday.
Yeah, just, I mean, some of the seats, it's like that's like a really good – Vandy season ticket holder seat. Like, I you know, it's like if you're going to have those seats, why would you sell? I mean, you can probably make some money because, you know,
pay for your entire season tickets in like one or two games.
Maybe. Yeah, can between, you though?
Between
with
Kentucky
Tennessee
and Tennessee
basketball? Yeah,
you get pretty close. Okay. Between those two games.
Well, then I would say let someone else buy season tickets. You know, some of these seats are really good, and it just seemed like they had really good seats. You know, I if you're a Vanderbilt fan who's mad at other Vanderbilt fans, I'm not mad at you. How about that?
There you go.
Get after him, Lyman. That was Rex Rhodes' coaching point there.
I want you to spend your whole show ripping Vanderbilt fans, please. There you go. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
He looks excited right now.
He looks really thrilled to do that.
Well, we'll see how it goes at the end of the year. Like, the Tennessee, again, it would come back to the same. Like, they're playing pretty well right now. And you think about what we'd be talking about with them had they not just totally blown the two Kentucky games. Like, we talked earlier about Kentucky. What would we be talking about with them had they not won the two Tennessee games? Like, Tennessee would be one of the hotter teams in the country right now had they just held on to some leads against Kentucky.
Yeah, they'd be 22-5. They'd be pushing for an SEC championship. They'd be like a 3 seed.
Yeah.
3-4. Yeah. So those games happened. They are getting better. I'm a little concerned. You know, JP Estrella didn't play.
Yep.
And knowing that, I didn't like their chances. But again, Dwayne Brown comes in, gives you 30 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, you know, a steal and a block, 4-for-7 from the field. Just solid, and that's what they needed because Akpara only played 16 minutes. He had foul trouble, and he does some things for this team, but there are limitations with him too. And with Dwayne Brown, much better than I think anyone expected. I think a lot of people going the year were like, you know, you're not going to get much from that guy. So these freshmen are getting better under Rick Barnes, and there's a definite upward trajectory with this team. Once again, Rick Barnes, can coach a little basketball.
He can. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the season closes out here. We mentioned college basketball overall. Five top 10 teams went down this weekend. Now, some of them played each other, so there is that. But pretty big weekend in college basketball.
It was. And by the way, I would be remiss not to mention this. You know, really appreciate Rick Barnes, what he said before the game, what he said after the game about Wes Rucker.
Yep.
Stephen Pearl had some really nice comments after his game, talking about, you know, being covered by Wes as a player at Tennessee. Vanderbilt leaves a space for him. And as we knew, you know, Vol Twitter, for all of its foibles, okay, it's above 700,000 now raised for Wes Rucker's family. So big shout out to everyone involved in that.
Yep. Really, really good stuff. Really good stuff to see. And like I said, not necessarily surprising. We knew that Vol Twitter would step through that way, but really good stuff to see on that front. That does it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a great rest of their Monday. Enjoy being Olympic gold medal champions in this country in hockey. We'll be back tomorrow. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.